Be seated, please. It's a matter of announcements. The ladies' outing next Saturday will leave here at 9 o'clock sharp. So if you're going with the ladies to McKinney for their all-day outing that Sabrina has got together, you want to be here and prepared to leave by 9 o'clock next Sunday morning, Saturday morning. The van will leave the parking lot here at 9 o'clock. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love and Thy mercy and Thy great goodness. We thank Thee, Father, for Jesus Christ, our hope of glory. Have mercy upon us, Father, for we're sinners and we confess that to You. We often do the things that we shouldn't do, and we often fail to do the things that we should. Help us, Father, discipline us like children, and cast us not from Thy presence. Help us, Father, that we can be more and more like Jesus each and every day. We thank You, Father, for our radio ministry that You've blessed us with and all the thousands that hear us each Sunday morning. We're so thankful, Father, for the internet ministry that You've given us. Father, we praise Your holy name that our words from this small place is going out to all the world, and thousands upon thousands hear of Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us, Father, that we might go forward to do more. Bless us today as we feed the poor and the hungry and the homeless. Bless every hand that gives and the offering that makes the feeding of the poor possible. Bless every hand that takes that's hungry, Father. Thank You, Father, for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. We're having a series and we're studying the coming of Christ. And so if you'd be opening your Bibles this morning, we're going to start Titus 1:2, but we'll go from there to Matthew 25. We've been studying this, the coming again of Christ. It's going to take us several weeks to do that. I'd like to announce this morning that we've had 45,000 hits this month on our website. I'd like to tell our visitors from California that when you go back to California, you can tune us in on that website, and you can get downloadable a cappella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching on there. So y'all keep visiting, even though when you go back, tell your friends about us. And so it's working. We have had 1,400 people this month that's found 40,000 things to do on our website. Isn't that wonderful? It's really great. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, in which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I began with this verse because I wanted to talk to you this morning about resurrection. And I want you to understand that this is a plan. This is not evolution. This is not an explosion. This is not the mind of God evolving. From before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. He could look all the way through history, and He had foreknowledge of all things that would happen. If He did this, 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 and this would happen. He knew exactly all the possibilities, and He chose the most perfect plan that we could have. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. I preached a dear sister's funeral this week, Sister Lois Crawford. Her running buddy, Lou Ann Tuggle, who was two of our first benefactors here 10 years ago when I first started preaching. They didn't care that my name was Mud and that we were just a poor church over here and had 40 members. They didn't care anything about that and that we were broke. They decided to help. And we have fed the poor in this church for 10 years and preached the gospel and done wonderful things. And so I use these verses, Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, for her funeral the other day. Often your works outlive you. After I'm dead and gone, I'll still be preaching on that website long, many years after I'm dead and gone. And so David Tarbert told me this week, he quoted to me from Hebrews 11, that though he were dead, yet he speaketh. And so that's going to be true with me too. How wonderful it is. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And they shall be gathered together before him all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And he will say to those on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see how wonderful that last verse is? The kingdom of God, the church of Christ, was in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now he's fixing to give us some verses that does not tell us what to do to be saved. It tells us the attributes of those people who are saved. This is what the saved are like. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. We give away 150 bologna sandwiches a day in this church. 900 a week, and we feed 400 meals on Sunday. 1,300 meals a week go out of here. 3 van loads of bread, sweets, and cakes go out of here. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now, we have a great prison ministry here. Eddie Frazier's just done a great job. He baptized 1,521 last year. But that's not what's being talked about here. You really had to have courage to have a prison ministry back in those days. Because if you visited a Christian in prison, they were in prison for being a Christian, and the guards liable to ask you, are you a Christian too? Then what are you going to do? You can't deny the Lord, so you become lying bait just like him. And so, it really meant something in those days to go visit somebody in prison. Those people were in prison for suffering for the testimony of Christ. I wonder how many of us would really be involved in a prison ministry if we knew that it cost us our life. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall a righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Then, or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, until everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that's good news. Hell wasn't created for me. It wasn't created for you. Even though I've been wicked, it wasn't created for me. Hell was created for the devil and for his angels. So there's no reason that we have to go there. You can do something about it. There's no such thing as the unforgivable sin today. Each and every one of you can come to God. God says, He who cometh to me, Jesus said, I shall in no wise cast out. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. So it's also, you see, that there are sins of omission. God can give us the power to do good, and we can refuse to do good with that power that He gives us. And that just shows the very nature of us. Again, I want to tell you, you can't earn your good works. Will not take you to heaven. Good works will not save you. Good works just show that you are saved. And on the other hand, those who neglect good works, those who have no good works, it just shows that they never knew the Lord. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There are free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to Midland gospel preaching on there. There's a real library, and you can study just about anything you want to on that website and get yourself a college education in the Bible. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to thee? And then shall he answer and say, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And so God gives us an opportunity to do good with the blessings that he gives us, or to omit to do good. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. How long is hell? How long is it? It tells you very plainly it's everlasting punishment and it's everlasting life. Those two things balance. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat. And that word in the Greek there is bema. It means the mercy seat. It's just like a judge sits on a judgment seat. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body according as he has done, whether it be good or bad. And so I want you to understand that it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment, the Hebrew writer tells us. But also, in addition to that, what is the basis of judgment? The basis of the judgment is whether you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or not. Whether you have come to him in the way appointed, the way that he has told you to come to him in the way appointed, if you have done that, you're through that first judgment, and then there's another judgment that comes up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So we're given this picture that if you lay the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, you're saved. Now we're having a judgment that deals with the works that you've done and the deeds that you've done since becoming a Christian. Now this judgment is based on reward. And so Paul likens some of that to wood, hay, and stubble, worthless work. Then he likens some of it, on the other hand, to gold and silver and precious stones. And so some of y'all are diamonds in the rough. Some of you are rubies, and you're my work. You're my workmanship. I've worked, and I've worked with you, and I've known you, and I've fathered you, and I've brought you to the Lord in this church. So you're my work. You're my fruit. Some of you are diamonds. Some of you are gold. Some of you are silver. Some of you are wood and hay and stubble. And so now Paul says that on that day, that great judgment day, the fire is going to try everybody's work. So some of y'all are going to be burned up. Some of you just gaming, and you're going to be lost. You're going to be burned up. And so I'll suffer loss in that I won't receive a reward for you. But it doesn't have anything to do with my soul. I'm not going to go to hell because you go to hell. So there will be a judgment of works. You know, we all suffer in life. I suffer a whole lot. I've got spinal arthritis and weather change. Boy, I've really been suffering. And so, very early in the history of man, human suffering became a topic with people. Why do people suffer? And we don't understand the problem any more than they did. But if you'll turn with me to Job chapter 1, it's no different, really, than it was in Job's day. There are more iniquities and injustice we see. The higher the question mark grows, why? And so we don't know why. But we know one thing, the resurrection is going to straighten it all out. We know that. So here's the story of Job. Poor old Job. Job heard in one day that his vast herds of camels were stolen and his servants were killed by Chaldean robbers. And at the same time, he heard that his herd of oxen had been stolen and his servants killed by Sabaean robbers. Then he hears that 7,000 of his sheep and their attendant servants were killed by thunderstorms. And then another runner comes and tells him that his family of 10 children were killed by a cyclone. Then a little later, Job is smitten by the most hideous disease called Job's disease. And I know a lot about that. My dad had it. It's called, the medical term is bullous pemphigoid. And my dad would develop sores about the size of a quarter, and it looked like a burn, like you burned yourself. And then that blister would bust, and it'd just be an open piece of meat. And I've seen my dad with 1,000 sores like that on his body. And it's not contagious. You can't catch it. But with all that open sores, his immunity was down. He could catch anything. And so the doctors told him, well, the only hope that you have is take massive doses of prednisone and cortisone, and that medicine itself will kill you in about 2 years. You're only going to live about 2 years. So you take this prednisone and cortisone, you live about 2 years. If you don't take it, you die in 2 weeks. So I had to take it, and I saw that my dad suffer through that, and it was a terrible thing, Job's disease. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, see, old Satan, Slewfoot's involved in this deal. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in the earth. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered and said, doth Job fear the God for naught? For thou hast made a hedge about him. And so down to verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Then here in a little while, one of the servants came running and tells him in verse 16, and while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven. Now hold it. See, that guy was mistaken. You see how easy it is to be mistaken? He said it was the fire of God that fell from heaven and burnt these people up. It wasn't the fire of God. What did God tell the devil back here in verse 12? And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has in thy fire." So whose fire was it? It was the fire of Satan that came and burned him up. See, it's awful easy to become mistaken and confused. And sometimes we attribute things to God that's not his doing, it's Slewfoot's doing. Look over in chapter 3, verse 1. And after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. Boy, don't you know that he's down and out and heartbroken with all these terrible things that's happened to him. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Now over in Job 19, begin with verse 6. Know thou that God hath overthrown me and has compassed me with his net. This is the words of Job over his suffering now. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, and there is none judgment. He has fenced up my way, and I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my path. And he has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. And he has destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope he has removed like a tree. He has also kindled the wrath against me, and counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me, and encamp around about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Listen, you get down and out, and you get sick and stuff like this, you hadn't got many friends. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. Job was probably a king of one of those city-states, one of those ancient city-states. And even though he was a king, all his servants have turned against him. Everybody has turned against old Job. I called my servant and he gave me no answer. He's not about to come. He don't want to catch what Job's got. He don't want to get too close to Job. God's liable to go to strike him. I called my servant and he gave me no answer. I treated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. His wife had told him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despise me. Little kids in the street that used to bounce on his knee, now throwing rocks at him. I arose and they spoke against me. For all my inward friends abhorred me. And they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. You've heard of that old saying that escaped by the hair of your chinny chin chin or the skin of your teeth. This is where it comes from. Man, he says, I've just barely got a hold of life. I've just barely escaped death by the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me. Folks just don't have much pity. You know what? And when you go to suffering, you can use some pity. Man, I hurt last night. I could have used some pity. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, oh, my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. He got his wish, didn't he? His words were written, and they were printed in a book. And the children of Israel kept those words. This is one of the oldest books in the Bible. And they took them into Egypt. When they went into Egypt and when they came out of there from captivity, they brought them forth. And Moses probably preserved this book his very own self. And it was added to the canon of Scripture forever. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in the book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in a rock forever. And they were, weren't they? His words became the greatest of all words. And now it's like the sun breaks through the clouds. And now it's going to begin the most sublime expression of faith ever uttered in these next few verses. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins are consumed within me. Back to verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Redeemer, according to the ancient law of kinship, to be the revenger, to purchase, to deliver, to ransom, to redeem, to perform the part of a near kinfolk, to be the next of kin, to buy back the relative's property, to marry his widow and raise up a child for him. For I know that my Redeemer, Gaal, is the Hebrew word, liveth, and that he shall stand, and this word here, stand, is an amazing word in Hebrew. It's kum, it's get up, stand up, and it carries the resurrection of the dead. It carries that idea about the resurrection of the dead. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, the one who's going to buy me back, he liveth, and he will stand up, he'll raise from the dead, he will stand in the latter days upon the earth. Now what is this latter days? We've studied this. It's the church age. It begins from the teaching of Christ all the way till he comes again. It also used as a term to designate the last days of the Jews prior to the cross, the last days of the Jews, but the last days of all mankind. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. When? During the Christian age. So when is Job talking about? He's talking about the beginning of the Christian age, that the Redeemer is going to stand upon the earth. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job knew that although he died and went to the grave, that God was going to raise him up, and in his flesh would he see God. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, not as a stranger, in other words, though my reins be consumed within me. So let's talk about this Redeemer a minute. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. What were you redeemed with? With the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, look at that word, foreordained before the foundation of the world. This is a foreordained plan. This is not an explosion. It's not an experiment. It's not evolution. This is a foreordained plan way back here in the beginning, before God ever said, let there be light. He had a plan, and that plan was for Christ to die for our sins according to the Scriptures, to be buried, and to rise again the third day according to the Scriptures. That was his foreordained plan. Turn with me now to Psalms chapter 16. There's not much said in the Old Testament about the resurrection of the dead. People just didn't talk about it much. The Jews kind of believed that you got to what you had coming in this life down here, and so you live your life to the fullest, and so they didn't know much about the resurrection of the dead. God doesn't say much. He just gives little hints every once in a while. The one from Job there, and now the one from Psalms. So in Psalm 16, beginning in verse 8, King David says, "For I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand that I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope." David says that when he goes down to the grave, because he has set the Lord always before him, that when he goes down to the grave, his flesh will rest in hope. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," Sheol, the grave, the pit. "For thou, God, will not leave my soul in the grave or in the pit. Neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." The Christ is going to go to the grave. He's just not going to be in the grave long enough to rot. He won't see corruption. That's what corruption means, rot in the grave. "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Notice that. There's just one path of life. There's not many paths of life. Muhammad won't get it. Buddha won't get it. Confucius won't get it. There is the path of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." And so we certainly want to be at his right hand, because that's where Messiah sits, isn't it? That's where Jesus sits, at God's own right hand. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. In Psalms chapter 22, beginning in verse 25, we get a little hints here of the resurrection of the dead too. This is a great messianic psalm that deals with the resurrection of Christ. So we'll be talking about that beginning in verse 25. "My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation." We praise Christ. We come together to praise him every Lord's day. "I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied." Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth. "The meek shall eat and be satisfied." Those that are humble and gentle and quiet spirit. "They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your hearts shall live forever." And now, really, for the first time in the Old Testament, eternal life here is alluded to very strongly, that your hearts will live forever. God is promising us that if we'll be Christians, our hearts, our souls, our beings will live forever. "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. And all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him." Everybody that dies and goes down to the dust of death is going to bow before Christ. Paul says, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Every person, when they die and they go before Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. "All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul." That's a power that we don't have. "A seed, a child, shall serve him, serve God. The Messiah is the only child that ever did serve God, that served God perfectly. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted the Lord for a generation. A better word, there's testimony. Be counted the Lord as a testimony. And they shall come and declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born, and he has done this. So we see the vicarious work of Christ. We're to go carry and tell people about his righteousness. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So when we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, we declare the righteousness of God. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. We have an audio library on there that you can study just about anything you'd like to study in regards to the Bible on there. So if you'll turn with me now to Isaiah 53, resurrection is talked about again here in Isaiah chapter 53, the resurrection of Christ. And so here we see resurrection is prophesied, beginning in verse 7. Speaking of Jesus and his humiliation by the Jews, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Pilate said, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee?" He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. As he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from the common hall where prisoners were held. He was taken from prison and from judgment, the name of the very seat that Pilate sat in. And when Pilate had sat in the judgment seat, his wife sent to him and said, "Have thou nothing to do with that good man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream over him." He's taken from prison, from the common hall where prisoners are held, and from judgment, from the judgment seat of Pilate. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Now I'd like for you to notice that. Verse 7 said he's cut off. That means killed, doesn't it? He's cut off out of the land of the living. When you cut off somebody out of the land of the living, they're dead, aren't they? Well, he's killed right here, excuse me, in verse 8. He was cut off out of the land of the living. What for? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He paid the debt for me. I hope he paid it for you, but I know he paid it for me. He paid the debt. Everything that I owe God, all the beatings that I deserve from God, he paid it. He took it upon himself. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. So if he's killed in verse 8, he's buried in verse 9. He's killed in verse 8. He's buried in verse 9. They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his dead. Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man. When evening was come, Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, came and begged the body of Jesus. And so he got the body from Pilate. They made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his dead. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus did no violence. Didn't lie to anybody at all. He'd done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to punish Christ this way so he could save me, so I could be resurrected. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, God, hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God, shall see his seed. That word means child. God will see his own child, Jesus. He'll see his seed in what? Prolong his days. How do you prolong somebody's days that you kill in verse 8, that you bury in verse 9? How do you prolong their days? There's just one way to do it, and that's resurrection. There's no other way to do it. You kill him in verse 8, bury him in verse 9. If you're going to raise him in verse 10, that's the only way to do it. Prolong his days. And he shall prolong his days. And what was the result of it? And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. So when you got some problems this week, give it to Jesus. He's got all the authority. You got some problems, just think about old Job, how terrible it was for Job. Job's words inspired a great apostle. You know what Paul said in the same boat? Paul was fixing to go have his head chopped off. And what did Paul say? I know him on whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I delivered unto him against that day. God is able to keep your soul even though you go have your head chopped off. Even though you go and eaten by lions, God is able to keep your soul against that day, this resurrection day that we're talking about. And he shall see, he, God, shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Justify means counted as righteous, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall Michael stand up. And Michael is only mentioned a few times in Scripture. He's referred to as the archangel in Jude chapter 9. He's mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Michael means who is like God. Well, nobody's like God, are they? And at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, it's not the same word that Job used for stand. Here it's an entirely different word. Amad is the word here, and it just really means raise up. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, since there such as there never was, since there was a nation, even to the same time. At that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book. Man, I want to be written in the book. Don't you want to be written in the book? I want to be written in the book. He knows what our name is. We get our name written in the book when we become Christians. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? If you'll be a soul winner, you can shine like the stars forever and ever and ever. There's apparently different degrees of splendor for your good works. And I'd encourage you to have many good works so that you can have great splendor in eternity. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. What that means is something that is afar off in time, The prophets are told, seal the book, because you won't know what it means until that time begins to take place. But that time of trouble, we know when that was at the destruction of Jerusalem. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. For many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. The knowledge and understanding of these things will increase, but will not be fully understood until the end. Whether he's talking about the end of the Jewish nation here or the end of time, it makes no difference. The principle still remains true. The gospel. The beautiful words of the gospel. Next week we're going to study this whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that which I preached unto you, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. What if you don't? What if you just forget this? What if you just forget it? It tells you right there, it says, unless you believed in vain. So if you forget this, you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The finished work of Christ on the cross, the vicarious righteousness of God, is found in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that if you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches we need to add faith to that, for without faith it's impossible to please him, the Hebrew writer tells us. The Bible teaches we need to confess Christ, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. The Bible teaches that we need to repent of our sins. It gives the idea we're going this direction serving the devil, and we come to a point we're ready to stop, go the other way, and start serving God. It means change your mind. For the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And then finally, God wants you to reenact the gospel in your life by being baptized into Christ. Know ye not, so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So if you're here this morning, you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity, you can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late? If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Are you, London?
What is this here?
I get some drugs Friday. I slip.
Yeah.
You asked him to forgive you. He'll do that.
Now. He's already got it. Have it. I don't have it. Just print me your name on that.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
God loves you, brother.
Praise God. Praise God.
I'll feel you, you're having surgery Thursday.
Praise God. Praise God.